Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma Daf Samach Tes, and we will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amar Aleph at the fourth line. Guf Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gozov Lo Nisya Shu Habaylim. Here we have a situation where somebody stole something and the owners have not been miyash from the item that has been stolen. Shneim Enim Yichayim LaHagdish. Neither the gazniv nor the victim could be magdish this item. Zelafish Enishaloi. The ganav cannot be magdish the item because it's not his item. Vizelafish Enim Rishusoi, and he can't be magdish the item, the nignav, because it's not in his rishos. And as Rishonim point out, the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan's statement is that even with Rabbonon, the hegdish, if either of these two parties would attempt to be magdish this item, it would not be a meaningful hegdish. There's also interesting machloikis Rishonim between the Ramban and the Baal Hamor, because they teach us that even though we're learning now that when something is in the possession of the gazlan, the victim nor the gazlan can be magdishit, when something is left under the care of a shomer, there the halacha would be that the owner of the item can be magdishit. Why would, however, be the halacha, they ask, in a situation where the gazlan recognized that he did something wrong and he has declared and he's shown his intention to return the item? Will the halacha be that, will the owner of the item be able to be magdish the item at that point? The Baal Amar says, since he has already declared his intention to return the item to the owner may be magdish it. Ramban, however, disagrees, because Ramban explains, as we've been learning this entire perek, that when somebody steals an item, it actually, to a degree, halachically becomes the ganav. It becomes his because we've had some sort of a kinyan that he does on this item, and because he has a kinyan in the item, he becomes somewhat of the owner of the item. So although he has expressed his intention of returning the item to the owner, still his ownership remains in effect until he actually returns it, and therefore it's not in the owner's rishus that the owner should be able to be magdish it. So the Kivega discusses a reverse situation where somebody stole something without performing a kinyan. For example, he says that all the thief did is that he denied the owner access to the item that he owned, that he owns, but he did not actually do a formal act of kinyan, and he has no intention of letting the owner have access. According to the Baal Amar, since here he did not show and declare that he's going to allow the owner back in, the halacha is that the owner could not be magdishit. According to Ramban, it's the ownership of the ganif that prevents the owner from being magdish the item. Here, where the ganif has not done any kinyan, the halacha would be, according to the Ramban, Rabbi Kivega suggests that the owner would be allowed to be magdish the item. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan indeed hold this way? Vom Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. That throughout Shas, where we have a stam mishnah, we follow that opinion. Because as the explanation always given is, if Rebbe left the mishnah anonymous, because he didn't want the mishnah to be attributed to any specific opinion, but what he was trying to say is that this is the halacha that everybody holds that way. V'tanan, and the mishnah says in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Kerem Revai, we know that the fruits, the first 3 years are arla and may, of a tree's growth and may not be eaten. In the year 4, they have a din like Maaseh Sheni, that they should either be eaten in Yerushalayim or they could be redeemed with the money taken to be spent in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says if somebody had a field with fruit that's Kerem Revai on it. They would mark it with clods of earth. Simona, because the reason they used earth was to say Kadoma. Ma Adoma Ikahanomina. Just like from Adoma you could have Hano, Af Hai, so too the Kerem Revai, Ki Mifrika, when it will be redeemed, Sharilis Numine, one could have Hano from it. Machloikus Rishonim, what is the status of Kerem Revai Peiris until they're redeemed? The opinion of Toisvis is that until they're redeemed, certainly they may not be eaten, but they're even Osaba Hano. The Rambam's opinion is that they're only Osaba Chila, but they're not Osaba Hano. Vishal Orla, if the fruits were Orla fruits, Becharsis. They were marked with Charsis, clay tiles. Because Simonic Charsis, they would make a simon that it's like a Charsis. Ma Charsis Shein Anomina, just you don't really derive any benefit. You can't plant clay and have anything grow from it. Af hai, the less by anomine, you're not allowed to have anor from orla. Vishakforis, if there were graves in the field, besid, they were marked with lime. Because again, simana de chivikatsomis, they would make a simen that looks like bones. Umamach of shayfich, and they would pour the lime all around the grave. It should become very white, and it should be a simen that nobody should get close to the grave. Nobody should get close to the grave. Not a regular person should become tamei, and certainly not a kohen. The Rishonim point out, why does the Mishnah specifically follow this order? First speaking about Kerem Revai, then Orla, and then basic kfaris. So the simple pshat is, as we said earlier, this Mishnah is a Mishnah Masechta Maaseh Sheni, and the Halach of Kerem Revai is the same as the Halach of Maaseh Sheni, so therefore that subject is the subject of that Perek. Another pshat is that the Mishnah is going in order. Kerem Revai is the weakest Isser, Orla is a stronger Isser. As we said, you're not allowed to have Anor from Orla, you can't redeem Orla, and a Mace is even more Isser than Orla, and that's why the Mishnah goes in that order. Or, as the Rishonim explained, since the din of Orla and the din of Mace are very similar, the Mishnah wanted to place them next to each other since their halachas are similar. Continues the Mishnah, Amr b'Shimon Gamliel, b'Medvar Amurim, when was this din said that they would mark it b'Shviyas in the Shemitah year? The Hefkenin, who, since the Peiros of Shemitah are Hefka, and everybody's coming to eat those Peiros, so the owner of the Peiros makes a simon that a person should avoid making the mistake of eating that fruit. During the other years, where no one has a right to eat those fruits, they're not your fruits, they're the fruits of the owner of the field, and if somebody's going to eat the fruit that has on it an Isser, let him eat it, let him do an Aveira. It's not, he shouldn't have attempted to touch those fruits, and I have no obligation to prevent them from eating it. We know the halacha is that a person has the obligation of Hilchiach Tochicha Samisecha. We have to prevent somebody from doing an Aveira. So why are we saying here Halitel Rosh V'yomus? Explain the Rishonim that is if I see somebody doing an Aveira, I have to prevent him, I have to stop him from doing the Aveira. Here there's no Aveira actually being done. There's only concern, do I have to do something that perhaps somebody going to do an Aveira? There the halach is, it's not my job. I have no obligation to do it, especially since there's no Lifnei Iver here. I'm not causing any Aveira to be done. The Paiskim discussed this concept of Halitei L'Rosh V'Yomus. When can I let a person do an Aveira? When should I stop a person from doing an Aveira? And the Paiskim clearly indicate that one should never stop somebody from doing an Aveira whereby him stopping the person to do an Aveira, he will be doing something wrong, even though what he's doing is less of an Aveira than what the other person is doing. For example, the Divra Makil has a tshuva that a person should not be makel and allow a get that maybe is not really 100% a valid get to be given, with the thinking that if I won't give a get, she may have relations as an Eishes Ish. Or any such situation, says the Marsham, two wrongs don't make a right. And I have never a right to do even a small Aveira to prevent a bigger Aveira from being done. There's a tshuva from Ramosha along the same lines. Ramosha was speaking to a neighborhood that he felt is not allowed to have an Eruv. And the Rabbanim approached him and said that maybe you're right that l'chatchila an Eruv should not be made in that neighborhood, but wouldn't it be better that they should make an Eruv that has some standing in Halacha, and that the people who are carrying will not be over the Isra of carrying on Shabbos versus not making an Eruv at all? Says Ramosha, this concept that making an Eruv, which he holds is not permissible, never gives us a right to do it, even if our intention is to help people not do the Aveira of carrying on Shabbos. In fact, the Paiskim discuss, sometimes we're posed with a dilemma. I saw a tshuva from the Debrecen Rav and from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. A question comes up in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say we're walking on the street on Shabbos and someone who's not religious yet pulls up and asks you for directions, where to go. So, number one, there's an issue that if you avoid him and you ignore him, there's a chil Shabbos, there's a chil Hashem involved, that you're not being helpful. Furthermore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that by you not giving him directions, you may be causing more of a chil Shabbos. Because if he knows where he's going and how to get there, he'll drive less than if he doesn't know the directions, and he may get lost, or he'll stop and start the car more often and do more Chil Shabbos. So what should one do? So Debrecen Rav clearly says that this is a situation where it's difficult to know what to do, and Shevat Aisa, don't do anything. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if at all possible, one should try to explain to the driver that it's Shabbos, and I can't give you directions on Shabbos because I'm not allowed to drive on Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to help you drive on Shabbos in order to avoid the Chil Shabbos, the Chil Hashem aspect. There's a very interesting psak from the Chabina Rav based on this Gemara. We know that the Gemara says, and that's the halacha, that if somebody goes out during the springtime, when fruit trees begin to blossom, he makes a bracha. Shabara ilonois toivois. He blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created wonderful trees, lehenes behem b'nei Adam, that people can enjoy. And Rabbi Kiva Eger has a question if this bracha could be made on an olive fruit tree. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't answer the shayla. The Chabina Rav says that perhaps our Gemara could be an answer to this question. He says, our Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that during the Shemitah year, I should make a sign that the fruit is an olive fruit tree, because people are allowed to eat from that tree. It's Hefker, it's Shemitah. During the other years, Halitei L'Rosh Shavuyamis. But if the halacha were that you're not allowed to make a bracha on an arla tree, you're not allowed to make this bracha on the arla tree, so says the Chabina Rav, shouldn't Rav Shimon Leal said that a sign should be made on the tree during all the years to prevent and avoid a person from making this bracha on an arla tree? The fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel only is concerned about the Shemitah year and not during the other years is a proof that the bracha can be made on an arla tree. And the reason is, says the Chabina Rav, because he's not making a bracha on the actual fruit, which of course may not be eaten. He's making a bracha, he's blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he regenerates the world, that every year as spring comes, the fruit trees begin to blossom and the world begins to regenerate. So says the Shulchan Aruch, he thinks that the Raya is a Gevaldig Raya, but since Rabbi Akiva Eger left this question open, he doesn't want to paskin lahaloch lemaisa, and he doesn't paskin lahaloch lemaisa. He said only lahaloch of aloy lemaisa about making a bracha on an orla tree. Continues the Mishnah, v'tznuin menichen es amos, as we learned in the previous year, what tznuin would do is that they would leave the money and say, v'oy mekol ha-nilkem ezeh mecholol amos halalu. Anybody who took the fruit, this money should serve as a way of being paida, of redeeming the Kerem Ravai, which clearly is a question on Rabbi Yochanan, because here we have a Stam Mishnah that teaches us that the Tznuin would be paida fruit when it was no longer in their possession. Yet Rabbi Yochanan, as we began the Shia, says that we always follow the opinion of a Stam Mishnah. Yet Rabbi Yochanan says that somebody whose item was stolen no longer has the ability to be paid to be magdish that item. Why are they called tznuim? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Gemara says that if somebody does something, they're not required to do, that the halacha doesn't require him to do, nikra hedyin. He's called a simple person. We're supposed to do what the halacha tells us to do. Say the farshim, in our Mishnah, that's only when it's done publicly. But if somebody wants to be machmer privately, that's very commendable. So these people would leave the money. They're not really supposed to leave the money. These people shouldn't have taken my fruit. So how did they do it? They did it with tznuim. They did it quietly. When they do it quietly, it's something that's called tznuim. It's something to be considered commendable. Furthermore, I saw another pshat from Shom Shadron. Shom Shadron explains that many times, as we quoted the pasuk a little earlier, the Torah, we give other people mussar, as the Torah tells us to. Hachiach techiach esem yisecha. But when somebody points out to someone else that he's doing something wrong, there's always the concern that he's embarrassing the individual that he's talking to. There's always concern that he has his own covet in mind. He wants to give a speech. He wants to feel or act important. But if he does it in a way that he accomplishes, that he prevents the person from doing an aveira, but it's done in the quietest way possible, there we see that certainly his intent and his act is very commendable. And that, says Rav Shalom Shvadron, was what the tznuin were all about. They not only prevented somebody else from doing an aveira, but they did it with tznius. They did it in this very quiet way. In fact, the Paiskim used this concept of the tznuin to teach us a halacha. What would be if the din, if someone has chametz, and we know that the chametz, you're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, and I see a person is not well, or for whatever reason, is not able to sell his chametz, so according to the opinion of tznuin, quietly, I could go and sell the chametz on his behalf, and I would be an effective mechiras chametz. Furthermore, we see from here, say the mefarshim, that they would do it even on Paris, Taisus points out, that are still collected to the ground. And from here we say, says Taisus, that you could be paid the Paris that are connected to the ground. Ask Taisus, if this is an option that could be done, so why doesn't he always do this? Just go and be paid the Paris that were collected. So the price comes. And to explain Tosfos a little better, we don't know exactly what's going to be taken. And why would we wait till the night when maybe the person took the payers 10 in the morning and I'm only going to be paid to them at night and he will have already eaten them before he was paid to them? So Tosfos says we have to explain that the mechanics of the pigeon are done in a fashion where I'm paid to them not at night, and part of them immediately that the pigeon should be effective as soon as they take it. So here we have a Stam Mishnah that says you could be paid to something even when it's no longer in your possession. And if you'll say that who is the Tan of Tznuin, it represents the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And even though Rabbi Yochanan always follows the opinion of a Stam Mishnah, however, Rabbi Yochanan he doesn't follow the opinion of a Stam Mishnah, which only represents the opinion of one individual. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Rabbi B'chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kom Makom Shoshana Rabbi Gamliel Mishnah Seinu, Halach Tamaisai. We always follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, Chutz, except for three situations. Arev, Machlaikis, between Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbanim Masechta Bava Basra, if somebody accepted upon himself to be a guarantor to a loan, does the Malva have the right to go to the guarantor, even if the loiva has money? That is the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Chum say you should go to the loiva first. Sidon is referring to a case of Masechta Gittin, where somebody gave a get to his wife on the condition that she return his coat, and then she doesn't have the coat. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that the get is not valid. The Chum says she could give money instead of the coat. V'raya achrayna, if there was a din Torah, and one of the parties said he rests his case, he no longer has any proof, he has no longer any edim, and then he does discover proof for edim, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he no longer could bring them. According to Chumim, he could still bring them. So even if we'll say that Mishnah asked the Gemara does only represent the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Amri, says the Gemara, don't explain the Mishnah to be talking about a case of Kal Nilkut Mizeh, that the person is the owner of the peiros, the owner of the field, is affecting a pigeon after it was collected. Elayim Kal Mislak Mizeh. He says this in the morning, before the peiros are even collected, when they're still in his possession. So ask the Rishonim, if, as we said earlier, Tosfos teaches us this is a 100% effective pigeon, so why shouldn't everybody always do this to avoid any questions? So one answer that they give is that because, as we said, one of the options, and perhaps even the preferable option, is that the peiros should be actually taken up to Yerushalayim to be eaten. So to do this pigeon, you're going to now no longer be able to take up those peiros to Yerushalayim to be eaten. So it's not something that we suggest. We want to l'chatchila suggest. Another answer that I saw given by the Rishonim is because, let's say, the person would do the pigeon 10 o'clock in the morning, and the peiros would only be collected later on during the day. So there was possibility that some more fruit actually grew during this interim period. That fruit wasn't in existence when the pigeon was done. And pigeon can't be done on fruit that isn't even in existence in the world. So therefore it's not such a l'chatchila dig a pigeon. And as the Rishonim going on and explain, so if so, we have this problem. So how could the Gemara even suggest that opinion be done like this? And the Gemara said, and the Rishonim say that we rely on Bittel. We rely that this is better than nothing, but it's not a perfect opinion. And therefore, it's not something that we're going to suggest should always be done. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan say that that's Pshat of the Mishnah? That the Mishnah means that according to the Tznuin, the pinion was done in the morning. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tznuin v'Rabdaisa Amar Devre Echad. Tznuin and Rabdaisa say the same thing, says Rabbi Yochanan. And why was Rabdaisa referring to Rabdaisa Nilkat Kama? Rabdaisa was referring to a situation where something was collected. The Tanya we learned in Abraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we know that one of the matnas naniyim is leket. Leket means that if, as the person is collecting ears of grain, if two ears fall, the oni could take him. If three ears fall, it's already not leket. But there were aniyim that weren't familiar with the halacha, and then they would even take three ears of grain. Also, there were aniyim, say the Rishonim, that the halacha is that matnas aniyim are exempt from you having to give trumas and maisers. But so if it's truly leket, the ani won't have to give trumas and maisers. But here the ani believes that's really matnas aniyim and it's not, and he mistakenly eats it without taking off the proper trumas and maisers. So what the owner would do is make it into hefker in order to avoid this problem, to avoid this problem of gezeila, to avoid the problem of him not taking off trumas and maisers, because there is no chiv of taking trumas and maisers from hefker. So Rav Yehuda says shachas baal bayis oimid v'oimer, in the morning the owner of the field says, "Kol shiluketu aniyim hayoyim yehefka. Anything that the aniyim take should be hefka." Rav Dais says, "Don't do it in the morning." L'daisi erev oimer. He says it at night. Kol shiluketu aniyim. Anything that the aniyim took yehefka is hefka. So we see that Rav Dais is talking that this act was done at night. And Rav Yehud and Rav Yochanan saying that Rav Dais's opinion is identical to the opinion of the Tznuim. So how can we say that Rav Yochanan means that the Tznuim did it in the morning? We see that Rav Yochanan clearly holds that the Tznuim did it at night. And the Paiskim can say from here we see that the halacha of Hefker and the halacha of Hegdish are identical. The one cannot be Mafker or be Magdish something that's not in his Rishus. It's interesting to know what to note. What would be the halacha regarding mechira? Can you sell something that you don't have possession of? Many Rishonim say that if hefker and hegdish you can't do kinyan either. But many Rishonim paskin, and that seems to be the halacha, that selling you can be makna something even though you don't have physical possession of it. Because by Hegdish, as we're going to learn later in this year, there's a special din. You could only be Magdish something you have possession of. And Hefker also is creating a new state from it being owned to being ownerless. And that can be done only to something you own. On the other hand, selling something, you're just changing ownership, and that can be done even though if you don't have total control. So the Gemara's question again is, How can we say that Rabbi Yochanan meant that the Mishnah of Tznuah is referring before the people took it, when the owner still had control? Answers the Gemara, what we need to do in the Mishnah regarding Matnas Aniyim is Epech Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Daisa, Rabbi Daisa le Rabbi Yehuda. Reverse the opinions of Rabbi Daisa and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Daisa. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who is, and according to this point, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's saying that the declaration was made at night, and Rabbi Dais is the one that says the declaration was made in the morning. Ask the Gemara, Amai Avchas Masnisen, what forced you to reverse the opinions? Because you have a question regarding Rabbi Yochanan. Perhaps, Avchal Rabbi Yochanan, we don't like to amend Mishnayis, so amend what Rabbi Yochanan said. Instead of switching Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dais's opinion in that brisa, Amra leSayid leMishapach Masnisa. There's another reason that we have to reverse the opinions of Rabbi Dais and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah regarding Leket. The Bahar Masnisin Tani, this little Rabbi Yehuda Breira. That Mishnah clearly indicates that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept of Breira. Because what is Rabbi Yehuda saying, according to the reading of the Braisa? That at night, the person says that whatever the Aniyim took should be theirs. So it's Huvra Adavra L'mafreya, retroactively it became theirs. And this concept of Breira, of do we or don't we say Breira, is a machloikis that we find that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. And as the Mefarshim help us understand the halacha of Breira, certainly where something is inevitable, or certainly something where it's totally in my control to happen, we may be subscribed to Breira. But here where it's not inevitable, there's a shaila if we say Breira. Because the Shemina Leila Rabbi Yehuda, the less lay Breira. Actually, we see Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Halokeach Yayin Rebein HaKutim. If somebody buys wine from Kutim. So as the Rishonim explain, this, it's referring to the time before Chazal said that we're not allowed to drink the wine of Kutim. But the Kutim were not careful to sell wine or produce that were properly taken off Trumas and Maisras. And the halach is that on Shabbos, on Bein HaShmoshes even, one can't take off his own Trumas and Maisras. And here somebody buys a barrel of wine from a Kuti. He needs that wine to make Kiddush. He needs that wine for Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maisras, or even Bein HaShmoshes. What can he do? Says the Mishnah. He says, Shnei Lugim Shani Osu L'Hafrish. He says, if we have a barrel of 100 gallons, he says 2 gallons should be Truma. Because we know that the average Truma is 1/50th, 2%. Shnei Lugim Shani Osu L'Hafrish Arayin Truma. Asara Maiserishin. Actually, the number 10 is not accurate. Because after he started with 100 and took off 2 for Truma, he's down to 98. So Maiserishin is actually 9.8, not 10. Then Tisha Maiserishini, also not an exact number, or Mechel. And then, the Machloikas how to understand Mechel. Some say that Maiserishini, you could be poida on Shabbos. You could do it by transferring the Kedusha of the Maaseh Sheni onto coins. So since that may be done on Shabbos or Bein HaShmoshes, that's what should be done with the Maaseh Sheni. Others say even that should not be done on Shabbos. Or Meichel means, and he can begin to drink. Meichel Shais Miyad, it's considered that it doesn't have the problem of Tevel, and you could drink immediately. Divrei Rameya. Which all of this depends on holding Breira. Because when will you actually take off physically the Truma Maisris? Only after Shabbos. Isn't that? And then it'll be Huvra Hadover L'mafreya that this was what was the Truma Maisris all along. So obviously we see that they don't subscribe to the concept of Breira. So Rabbi Yehuda anyway doesn't hold a Breira. So that's why we anyway had to reverse the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda by Leket, which does have him holding of the opinion of Breira. Amri, Saif Saif, Amaika, Malchus Leila Masnissen. So now we're explaining what forced us to reverse the opinion of the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Doiser and Yehuda, Mishum the Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda and Yehuda. Because we had a problem if Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we do this opinion at night, we do this declaration at night, he's obviously subscribing to Breira, which he doesn't hold of. But now, Kasha, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, we're still posed with a problem between Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan holds, doesn't hold the Breira either. The Amritl Rabbi Yochanan, Loi teima kol hanilkut. Don't say whatever was collected. Al kaima es kol hamislaket. Whatever will be picked, which means, and the morning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the person says the tznuin say that whatever will be taken should become the ownership of that individual, which relies on breira. Alma isle breira. Ask the Gemara for Rabbi Yochanan Lesle Breira. We know Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to the concept of Breira. Domer of Asi Om Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achem Shechalku Lukuch Hasein Magzirin Lezel Zebi Yovel. We have an individual, Yaakov, who passed away. He left over 2 sons, Reuven and Shimon, who inherit his estate. Does the Machloikis had to view what happens when Reuven and Shimon divide the estate? If we subscribe to the concept of Breira, so Breira tells us that Huvra Adavar L'Mafreya, that the portion that Reuven got was always Reuven's, and that the portion that Shimon got was always Shimon. If we don't subscribe to the concept of Breira, we can't say this was always each other's portion. We say that they did a business deal. And now they divided it. Reuven took one part, Shimon took another part. What would be the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina would be regarding Yovel. We know that by the Yovel year, when Yovel was in effect, everything had to be returned to its original owner. So if we look, if we follow the concept of Breira, and we say that what Reuven got was always his, and what Shimon got was always his, so then Yovel wouldn't affect this, what these portions that they got. However, if we say that we don't follow the concept of Breira, and they're lekuchos, So like all the kuchais, when Yovel comes, the deal would have to be, they would each get back, the deal would have to go back to the to scratch. Machloikis Rishonim, what does that mean? Some Rishonim mean, say, it means exactly as we said, that these two brothers, when the Yovel year comes, they re-pool this assets, this estate, and redivide, and now divide it again. Other Rishonim explain that they have to formally go through putting it back together, but then each one takes back the portion that he had. So we have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. Here, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to the concept of Breira, and there Rabbi Yochanan said that we should say Kol HaNilkat, but that would happen following the Prenyan of Breira. Elo Olam Kol HaNilkat. We have to say that Rabbi Yosef and the Tznuin were speaking about something that was already collected. And they obviously hold that even though something is no longer in my possession, I could still be paid it. Something's no longer in my possession, I could still say it should be laniyim. I, Rabbi Yochanan says, as we learned yesterday and the beginning of this year, you can't do that. And here we have a Stam Mishnah that says you can do it. Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrin Ashkech. Rabbi Yochanan has a different Stam Mishnah. The Tanan, the Mishnah says, "Ein agoinav acha ganav shaltesh mikefel." If somebody steals from someone else, if a ganav steals from a ganav, there's no chiv kefel. Now we need to understand why. My bishlam leganav rishon loy mishalom. I can't understand why he doesn't give kefel to the original thief. The gunam mebeisa ish for loy mebeisa ganav. El abalim mishalom. Why shouldn't this thief have to pay kefel to the original owner? El lav shmamina there. You don't pay kefil to the ganif, lefish ena shaloi. Vizeh, and you don't pay ganif kefil to the owner, lefish ena berishusoi. So we see that possession is what makes the difference. So now point out to Rishonim one final question. We have Reb Daisa, we have the Tznun saying, Kol HaNilkat. Reb Yehuda is, on the other hand, saying, Kol HaMislakit. That anything that will be collected, which has Rabbi Yehuda subscribing to the concept of Breira. But didn't we quote the Mishnah by the Kutim where we see clearly Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira? So Rishonim explained that the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion by the Yayin from Kutim is not because of Breira. He has a different concern. He would actually agree to the concept of Breira. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda would hold that in the morning a person could say that whatever the Aniyim will collect should be theirs. The issue there is a different concern. If somebody in Shabbos makes this designation, what will happen? Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the barrel may break over Shabbos and all of the wine will spill. And then by Matzah Shabbos, when we want him to actually physically remove the Truma and Meiser, it won't be there. And that's why, because of that gezerah, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to that approach. The halach is that by the Raisa, we don't follow Breira, and by Drabonon, we do say Breira. But there's a machloikis hapoiskim, how to understand that. Some say that that's the halacha, that there's a difference between a Doraisa and a Drabonon. Others say it's not Doraisa Drabonon. By Doraisa, we always want to be machmer, like we have a concept, Sofik Doraisa Lechumra. By Drabonon, we're makel, because Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula. What's the nafkamina between these two approaches? The nafkamina between these two approaches is in a case where, so typically saying Ein Breira is a Chumra, and typically saying Yesh Breira is a Kula. But what would be if saying Breira will be a Chumra? Or not saying Breira will be, or not saying Breira will be a Chumra? So if we follow the second approach, then maybe by the right, so we will say Breira, we're by saying Breira, we'll have a Chumra. Or we'll maybe say by the Rabbanon, Ein Breira, we're by following that, or by say by the Rabbanon, Breira, Ein Breira, we're saying that we'll make a Kula. Ask the Gemara, now we said, and now that we've identified, a Stam Mishnah, where Rabbi Yochanan holds that something that's not in my position, is not, I'm not able to own. But we have now two Stam Mishnas. So ask the Gemara, my chaz is dosa basa, hai stama. Why does the Rabbi Yochanan prefer that Stam Mishnah. Levikai Stam Tznuin. Why doesn't he follow the Stam Mishnah of Tznuin? Answers the Gemara, Mishnah the Silek Kra. The Pasuk supports that Stam Mishnah. Because the Pasuk that speaks about Hegdish says, V'ish ki Yagdish as Beisoy Kodesh Lashem. Ma Beisoy Brishusoy. So Beisoy becomes the paradigm, the model for Hegdish. Now, what is the characteristic of Beisoy? That's in my possession. Af kol b'rishusoy, something that's in my possession, I can be magdish, not something else. Omra Abaya, ilav de omra Rabbi Yochanan, tznuin v'Rab Doisa om dav echad. If not that we had Rabbi Yochanan's statement that the tznuin and Rab Doisa have the same opinion, have a mina, tznuin is la Rab Doisa. I would certainly agree that the tznuin hold of what Rab Doisa says. However, it's not necessary. I would say perhaps Rab Doisa less la tznuin. Explains the Gemara. Tznuin is the Reb Doisa. Tznuin certainly held the Reb Doisa. Omar Beganef, what was the case of Tznuin? Where somebody went and took fruit that didn't belong to him, and the Tznuin are so worried about him, and Rabbanim made, and therefore they made this Eitzah, how he shouldn't be considered a Ganef. So Omar Beganef of the Rabbanim Takanta, Aniyim, in the case of the Ani, who's taking by mistake, Leket, that he doesn't deserve to take, certainly Tzrich Lameimba, it goes without saying that Chazal made some sort of a Eitz on his behalf. However, Reb Doisa less the Tznuin. I would not necessarily say that Reb Doisa agrees with the Tznuin, because perhaps only Aniyim who the Avdol Rabbanan Takanta. It's only by Aniyim that Chazal made a Takana, because they were concerned for them. Av Ganef, like Avdol Rabbanan Takanta, when by Ganef, Chazal did not make a takana. You have no right to take fruit that doesn't belong to you. Amar Rava continues. Rava making a similar statement. Ilav the Amar Rav Yochanan Tznuin Rav Doisa Dama Vachad. If not, that I would know that the Tznuin Rav Doisa say the same thing. Have a mina man tan Tznuin. I would say that who's the tan of the Tznuin? The din by Tznuin is a special rule because it represents the opinion of Rav Meir. Lav Amar Rav Meir, because Rav Meir's opinion always is the Meiser as Mamun Gavayahu. The Maisa really doesn't belong to an individual. It really belongs to Hashem. But Hashem says who and where someone may eat it. But Fila Hachi, still in your Padilla, when it comes as far as redeeming it, we see that the original owner is somebody. Why? The Ksiv, Im Goyal Yigal Ishim Masari, Chamishasai Yosef Olav. The Loch is, as we said, Maisa Shani can be redeemed. But there's a difference if the original owner redeems it or someone else redeems it. If the original owner redeems it, he has to add a chaymish. Someone else redeems it, he doesn't have to add a chaymish. Kai rechmana maisre. So you see that even though it's mama gavaya, to a degree it's my maiser. And that's why I have to add chaymish. Kerem revai nami. Kerem revai, as we said earlier, has the same din as maiser. Because gomer, Kodesh Kodesh v'maisa. We learn Xer Shav from Maisa. Ksiv Hacha. The Pasuk uses the words by Kam Ravai of Kodesh Shalulim. The Ksiv Gabi Maisa. And the Torah uses by Maisa the words V'kol Masa Oretz, Mizera Oretz, M'priya Itzel Hashem Hu Kodesh. Ma Kodesh the Ksiv Gabi Maisa. Just like when the Torah uses the word Kodesh by Maisa. Afgav the Mam Gavohu. Even though as Ramei says it really belongs to Shemayim, Takarish Baruch Hu. Linya Padiyah Ukmi Rachmana Brishusay. It's still considered somewhat like his. And that's why the halacha is that he has, the original owner has to add a Chaymish. Af Hai Kaidish. Nami, the Ksiv Gabi Kem Revai. Afgav the Lab Mam Dedehu. Even though it's not mine. Linya Nachule, when it comes to the Dinim of being Paidit, redeeming it, because if you really think about it, comes to Gemara, even before I was Paidit, but even though it's not mine, the Torah gives me the right to redeem it, therefore, even when it was taken by someone else, I still perhaps retain the right to redeem it. Avagab Leka, Kiva the Mamanim Bidei. Leka is different. When it's my me, Kisa Brishusei, when it's completely by me, that's when the Matza Mafkalei, I can be Mafkrit. Kilesa Brishusei, but once the Neem took it, lematzah mafkalei. So perhaps, according to Rava, only in the case of Kam Ravai can you make this declaration even when it's no longer in your possession. But by Leket, by Matnas Anim, you would not be able to make that declaration. But now that Rabbi Yochanan says that the Tznuin and Rabbi Doisa are of the same, that's obviously not the explanation of the Tznuin. One more statement. Amar Ravina. Ilav da Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tznuin, Rabbi Doisa Amar Davachad. If not, that we had Rabbi Yochanan saying that the Tznuin and Rabbi Doisa say the same thing. Hava Mina, man tan of Tznuin. Who the tan of Tznuin? I would say Rabbi Doisa he. And why would that help me? Because as we began the shir, saying that Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds that something that's not in your possession, you can't be magdish, you can't be paida. And then we had a kasha from the Stam Mishnah of Tznuin. But if we were able to say that that Mishnah only represents the opinion of Rabbi Doisa, I would say that Rabbi Yochanan k'stam yichidah le'amar. It's only representing the opinion of Rabbi Doisa. And when does Rabbi Yochanan say halach k'stam mishnah? Only when the stam mishnah doesn't represent the opinion of one individual. But now that we're saying that the tznuin and Rabbi Doisa are not the exact same. They have the same opinion, but that's not the tan of that mishnah. So that mishnah remains a regular stam mishnah that causes us a question: how do we reconcile Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Which we explained, there is another stam mishnah which Rabbi Yochanan is following.